Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags Nonprofit U, Sun Foundation, and that's S-O-N, or Building Community. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com /nonprofit_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode page, and you can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from the chat room at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Building Community, Revitalizing Neighborhoods Through Servitude and Innovation. We'll talk about the Sun Foundation's programs and services and civic engagement. We'll also talk about innovative strategies to reverse disinvestment in inner-city schools and communities. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals, educators, and community stakeholders are especially encouraged to call in and share your stories. Our guest for today is Robert Douglas. He's the executive director of the Sun Foundation, and as a youth, Robert participated in youth programs at Palmer Park and played for Palmer Park Eagles football and the A's baseball teams. In 1991, Robert suffered a painful loss of his brother, Anthony Darwin Douglas, who fell victim to the crime that is currently plaguing Roseland. This is called gun violence. Determined to ensure that the loss was not in vain, Robert organized the Sun Foundation with the vision of making the Roseland community safer and supportive. Join us as Robert talks about ways to stimulate the community and promote self-determination in low-income communities. You can find a bio for Robert on my blog, Nonprofit U, under episode 21, Building Community. Go to valeriefleonard.com/nonprofitU and click onto the episodes page. So thank you for being on the show, Robert. It's indeed an honor to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about the Sun Foundation and its philosophy of servitude and innovation?
Well, thank you for having me, Ms. Leonard. The Sun Foundation is a nonprofit organization that was spearheaded by the mothers of 114th and Prairie after the death of my brother, and it was my first experience with advocacy, community advocacy. And the mothers, instead of shutting their doors when the gun violence happened, they stood on the porch and they turned on the porch light and they advocated for straight, safe streets. So that's where it came from. And so it just birthed there, and I just moved it on to a more advocacy role in public policy.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us what SON stands for?
It stands for Saving Our Neighborhood.
Okay, great.
And our philosophy.
Our philosophy is to
build strong communities through service. And we do that in a lot of different ways.
Mhm. Okay, and I like too your philosophy. Not only is it one of servitude, but it's one of innovation, and I'm sure we'll get into some of the innovative ways that you have addressed some of the issues as we go along. You've had the opportunity to work on Chicago State University's Presidential Library did this past year. Can you give us a brief overview of their concept and what it was like to work with community stakeholders?
Well, this was one of my most memorable engagement initiatives. This was a genuine process. It was so genuine that the Sun Foundation had the honor to engage, empower, and outreach to the community stakeholders that will be participating in the design team, so to speak, for the Presidential Library. And from day one, the community has been working diligently to bring all of their assets to the table in collaboration with some of State University's most brightest writers, theorists, and also President Dr. Wayne Watson in our efforts. But we were unsuccessful to go to the second round, but we have been in constant communication with University of Chicago.
Okay, great. So can you tell us a little bit about that bid and what made it different? I know that, you know, the community engagement was sincere. You really had folks on the ground in the community. But can you tell us some of the programs that you guys had envisioned for, I believe there was an Obama Institute of some sort that was involved as well?
Yeah, the President Obama Policy Institute. We're definitely excited about that potential opportunity in collaboration with the University of Chicago with bringing President Obama's Policy Institute to Chicago State University's African-American Male Resource Center in the near future as the University of Chicago rolls out their plans. Well, the location for President Obama Library, we thought would be perfect to reengage service and having the building at Chicago State University. We had the land space. We met the requirements for transportation with accessibility to and from the airport, through Metra, CTA. And so we thought that it would be a great fit. And so at this time, we are not at the second level, but we are definitely working with University of Chicago and maximizing the President Obama Library coming to the city of Chicago.
Okay, that's awesome. I really do hope that there can be some good partnership between Chicago State and University of Chicago. And I know you'll keep us posted as to how that develops.
Yes, stay tuned for more.
So I noticed that the Sun Foundation does a lot of work with formerly incarcerated individuals. I know you work with Second Chance Act and all of that good stuff. So can you tell us, first of all, more about the Second Chance Act and then how you work with community organizations to help them fulfill, you know, the requirements of the Second Chance Act, whether they're getting that kind of funding or not?
Well, I want to first start by saying thanks to Congress for reauthorizing the Second Chance Act. The Second Chance Act is a act in Congress that allows community-based organizations, state organizations, governmental organizations to work collectively in helping the formerly incarcerated coming home from incarceration with housing, mental health services, workforce development strategies, and my most unique component is the family reunification component, and that's reestablishing this population back into the family unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So how are you making sure that Roseland is actually served, you know, with those programs?
Well, currently I'm working with Congressman Danny K. Davis in the 7th Congressional District as part of his reentry work group to establish best practices. And so I am working to bring those best practices to the far south side of Chicago in the 1st and 2nd Congressional District to help the organizations that provide housing services, that provide workforce developing services, to maximize their best practice when dealing with this population. Over the last few weeks, over the last few years, rather, we have had great success in just sharing information around the Second Chance Act and how it can play a vital role in mitigating some of the violence that we have in the streets of Chicago.
Yeah, that's really good. And then there's another program you guys have. It's the Corridors for Collective Action. In fact, it's an initiative. Can you tell us what that is and why it came about and what are some of the things that you do?
Well, Corridors for Collective Action is a strategy in which we are studying to see if all of the capital improvement plans that are going on the far south side of Chicago and the impact they have on the major corridors along those developments locations, those locations that are being developed, so to speak, the 95th Street corridor. We currently have the redevelopment of the 95th Street station. So how would that development help or impact the community at large? And so we use the corridor as a vehicle to study entrepreneurial development and its impact and whether we need more entrepreneurial development strategies, also workforce development, who's hiring, who's being hired. And so the Corridor Collective Action Initiative is basically to study those corridors to see the impact so that we can further talk to legislators about what it is the community really needs to maximize the private investment. So by creating these public-private partnerships, I see it can be beneficial to what we talked about previously in providing workforce development strategies for this population that's returning citizen.
Well, that's excellent. And what I like about what you just told me is, typically neighborhood groups, when they do this kind of planning, it's usually an outside planning group that comes to provide technical assistance, and that's always good and I think is always necessary. But it sounds to me like you, the Sun Foundation, and folks in Roseland didn't say, well, let's wait on somebody from the outside. Let's look at what we have and figure out how we can maximize opportunity for people who live there. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that correct?
Definitely correct. The skill sets within the far south side of Chicago are very vast. And so to maximize them, we have to communicate. And the Sun Foundation job and my job is to connect those dots. So in connecting those dots, we need to definitely, when we roll out the President Obama Policy Institute, we create our own think tanks inside of the community so that we can be a world-class city, as our mayor, Rahm Emanuel, explains it.
So it sounds to me like, if the Obama Institute does come down, to the far south side, you might be able to connect some of the work that University of Chicago and Chicago State are doing with these corridors for collective action. So that could be things like transportation, things like housing and economic development, using the people who are already there so you can make a bigger impact.
Well, let's not forget about healthcare, right? And public, right, and public health. We definitely want to maximize our medical district, the Roseland Medical District. We want to maximize that institution and its corridor.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. That's really powerful. And then on the flip side, one of your biggest frustrations seem to be often this community revitalization occurs from the top down or is fostered by agencies that are not from people who are indigenous to the neighborhood. So you touched on it a little bit, but what are some of the strategies that you're using with SUN to develop local leadership to prepare them and take control of their own economic development?
Well, first you have to start with shining a light on the ineffective practices of the status quo, right? We have to change the narrative. And so by changing the narrative, you have to change the actors within the narrative so that the community who's not engaged can become engaged. And so that's our strategy. By highlighting the ineffectiveness, which is my low point, because I wouldn't mind if outsiders came in and maximized us as a resource, as a community resource, but you come in and the unemployment rate still rise, and the gun violence rise, and the school closings still happen. And so it's really not, so most theorists say that's gentrification, and I don't want to use that word because I think gentrification could be a positive thing if it was maximized by all of the players in the narrative.
So you want to improve the physical environment, which is stuff like the housing, the buildings, transportation, and jobs, but you also want to improve the people so that they can take advantage of the opportunities. I think that's what I heard today.
And then to improve the quality of life of our residents, we definitely have to tackle the environmental component on the far south side, right? And so we have high levels of toxicity in our air that causes us to be one of the leading communities for youth asthma, asthma-related issues, breast cancer, women. And so those issues, those environmental issues, spearhead some of the other underlying factors in our community that's truncating us from being successful as a community. So if we cleaning up the environment is a workforce development strategy. So working with all of our stakeholders, our governmental stakeholders, our corporate stakeholders, to say this is the best practice by employing, empowering residents to do the work instead of outsiders.
Oh, that's great. So what are some of the greatest challenges, you know, that you have, you know, getting people to develop the community from the bottom up?
Well, it's changing the mindset is my biggest challenge, right? Most of our residents say, why vote? You know, nothing's going to change. And so showing them that your tax dollars matter to us as a community and that we have a social responsibility by seeing the disenfranchised empowered is one of the most key components to changing this thing in my eyesight. Because to me, I use this this theoretical term called it's a communitarian approach, and that just means that there's an individual responsibility and a collective responsibility to work together to build what we call a social contract that's not written down. It's just best practices on humans on how to relate to each other and how to trust one another, how to love one another. And if it wasn't but the grace of God that would do this, I think our communities will become more self-sufficient by doing so.
So it sounds to me like it's a spiritual component, you know, as well as leadership development and other community development.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, for me personally, it has to be spiritual because the way the normal channels are doing things, I've done that before. And so, but through the grace of God, if we do it the way God tells us to do it, tells me to do it, then I'll be available to the shooter. I'll be available for the wayward mother. I'll be available for the store owner that wants to now do the right thing. I'll be available to the politician that says, look, I want to do the right thing. And so, and it's all about doing the right thing for the bottom line of the community, and that is safety.
Okay. And then, you know, something is, I guess, still related to community development, making sure that we have fathers who are involved in their children's education. You guys have started the Fatherhood Initiative with Chicago Public School Head Start Program. Can you tell us how it got started and some of the accomplishments you've made to date?
Yeah, so the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funded the Fatherhood Initiative within Chicago Public Schools Head Start, and they asked the Sun Foundation and myself to convene and facilitate the National Fatherhood Initiative 24/7 mm-hmm. Dad program. And so the program was phenomenal. Fathers got engaged, got empowered, and got to know some of the brain development that goes along with youth development. And so they mm-hmm. were astonished with some of the developments that happened within their children's brain that now they're talking, their conversations with their children are different. And so now mm-hmm. we have moved on and enhanced the program, and now we are working with that same population, Head Start population fathers at Rush Medical Center to continue this work and now look at it mm-hmm. from the more in-depth studies perspective on mm-hmm. its impact on children's grades, their behaviors, mm-hmm. and also with their knowledge of my concept that I'm working with my children with, and it's called metacognitive development. And so mm-hmm. how they're thinking about their thinking and how fathers are relating to those things is phenomenal. And we're working hard to get this data together so that we can present it to our legislators.
Okay, great. So I think what I'm hearing is the overall goal of this program or the premise is if fathers are involved in their students' education, their children's education from the earliest levels, they expect to have better outcomes, you know, healthier childhood development, as well as, I guess, greater childhood readiness, you know, when they're showing up for kindergarten. And then hopefully the children will be on a good path toward learning. So I think that's great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We're excited.
Thank you for your service. Thank you. And then when we look at public safety, I know you tend to put yourself in harm's way personally. What are some of the initiatives that the Sun Foundation is doing to work on public safety in Roseland?
So around public safety, it's a very slippery slope. So the Sun Foundation has this new initiative that we've developed called the Access Committee. And so the Access mm-hmm. Committee is made up of individuals that have a direct connection to the deviancies that we're calling gun violence. And so mm-hmm. we're not a rapid response unit. We know the perpetrators. We know the family of the perpetrator, and we use the gatekeeper approach to engage that population, whether it's the shooter or the victim. So we get close to the gatekeeper to say one of the resources that is needed is someone that's going to understand their issues of gun violence mm-hmm. and why it occurred in our community. And so from there, our job is to try to change the mindset of individuals through what I use personally when engaging the Word of God, and how God has taken me from that same block because I'm still in the same community, and has taken mm-hmm. me to the boardroom with some of the most powerful and most prestigious families in the country. And that's not just to pump myself up, but I understand the violence. I've lost a brother, like you said earlier. I've lost best mm-hmm. friends, and I've seen bloodshed. And so to show them to, okay, I heard your story, now hear my story, and look at what mm-hmm. God has done for me. And so I use that. And so that's what the Access Committee and all of us have access. And so that's our story. We hear you out, but listen to this.
Okay. And I just want to remind our callers, we have an opportunity to call in. That number is 347-884-8121. Please call in if you have some questions of Robert or if you have comments on what's going on in your community. Give us a call. That number is 347-884-8121. Okay, so we've heard about what you're doing with violence. We've heard about what you're doing with early childhood development. What are some of the strategies that you're addressing, well, you're using to address housing issues in Roseland?
Well, we use the housing issue as a workforce development strategy mm-hmm. As well. So we have environmental issues, we have violent issues, and we now have the housing issues. And all of them are workforce development strategies for our population, our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use the city's program with the NSP, Neighborhood Stabilization Program, and also in collaboration with Neighborhood Housing Services and Habitat for Humanity, who's in our community developing. We collaborate with those organizations.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Robert? Okay,
yes.
For our viewers who may not know what NSP or Neighborhood Stabilization Program, can you share with us what that program is and how you've been able to tap into it?
Well, so yes, clearly I can. So Neighborhood Stabilization is a federally funded program to get rid of the blight in communities. And so it's done in a way that it empowers the community by giving the properties back to the community. And so, but you have to show
the foreclosed properties, right?
Yeah, they foreclosed. So we have a new population. It's called Red Flag, but we can get into that at another time. And so, but we get those properties and we fix them up as a nonprofit. And then we, as a nonprofit, the Sun Foundation can either sell those homes at market value.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make a profit off of it. We just put it, and that could be operation money. Or we could
mm-hmm.
manage the properties and utilize the properties to rent property. And so, but the people that fix up the house, they're paid through a grant through the Neighborhood Stabilization Program at skill level pricing and scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means if you have a plumber, that's a workforce development strategy for plumbers. And so we use that strategy as a way to engage our entrepreneurs in the trades, and so that they
mm-hmm.
can hire laborers that then will go on to get into the union, that will grab a trade and be better skilled to take care of their families. And so we take those properties and put them back on the tax roll and help stabilize our community.
Okay. Now, Robert, it looks like we're approaching 2:30, and I have a couple questions that I'd like to ask you before we sign off. So do you have a few more minutes where we can spend some time getting down to the roots of these issues before we go?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so what are some of the lessons that you've learned in your years of community development work?
It's a holistic approach. It's not just the biggest, baddest organization that's going to solve our problems. We have to look at this as shared leadership initiative where we work together for the good of the community. And it's working pretty well right now. We definitely have a lot at stake, from the historical Pullman National Park to the medical district to all of the development. We have a great opportunity to impact our community in an economic way, where that the socialists in our community can work to build that social contract through our conduct, through our conversation, mm-hmm. and through our character.
Okay, great. So what advice would you give to people who are starting this work?
Well, yeah, it's a long road. To get to mm-hmm. this stage of where I'm talking to Valerie Leonard on her blog talk radio show, it's very monumental to me, because I've watched your work in the Lawndale community since Reverend Flowers was around and in the early stages of the reentry program. And so at this time in my life, I feel so honored. And so find someone that, not that you could mimic, but someone that you can ascribe to or strive to be like, or strive mm-hmm. to understand their work and what they've had to go through to get to the point that they're now having talk shows and being successful. What you guys are doing with the committee is like phenomenal, and I want to bring all of those things to the far south side. And so it's all about shadowing. I tell mm-hmm. everybody, I'm here to shadow Valerie. You know, what can you give me? And so I take the low road, and that's my stay humble, because humble, God can do great things through humble people.
He can, and we learn from you too. You know, this is not a one-way street. You know, it's give and take.
I appreciate it.
Okay. So we've come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank Robert Douglas, the founder and co-director of the Sun Foundation, for being my guest today. Robert, would you care to share any parting thoughts and tell us how we can reach you?
I can be reached at sunforlife@gmail.com. That's S-O-N, F as in Frank, O-U-R, L as in Larry, I-F-E, @gmail.com. And look us up on Facebook at Sun Foundation, /Facebook. And in closing, to stop this deviant behavior on the streets of Chicago, you have to use people with access. The new word for us is access. If you have access to capital, you need to give it back to the community and attach it to the community. If you have access to the deviancy, you need to attach it to the community, the people that can help. If you have access to building quality schools in our community, you need to tap into our community and provide those accesses to families.
Access. Oh, I love it. I love it. That's the word for the day, access.
Yes.
So thank you for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show. The show will be available for download within about an hour. Be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Dr. Michael McAfee. He's the Vice President for Programs with PolicyLink, and I think we'll be able to see a lot of what Robert talked about, you know, on the ground. He'll share some of the theory behind it in ways that folks in Roseland and Lawndale and, you know, Inglewood and other developing communities can move forward. So we'll talk about their Promised Neighborhood Institute, where they work with, you know, communities all around the country, whether they get the Promised Neighborhood funding or not, and show them how they can link resources to support their school and build up the community. So I'm looking forward to a very lively discussion. In fact, you know, Dr. McAfee has given us homework so that we can study and show ourselves approved before the broadcast. And you can find those on the website, the Nonprofit U website, under his episode for next week. and that's the November 23rd show. So I'm looking forward to a very lively discussion. So until then, I want you to have a great week, and you take care.
Thank you.